Blog Talk Radio.
Project Paranormal. I am your host, Jeremy Leonard, for the next hour, along with Brian Sons. Well, I did that intro quick, Brian. I couldn't take too much more of that song. How about you?
Oh, yeah. I agree. Happy New Year, first of all, everyone.
that come on, I'm like, oh, my God. I just tried to hurry and find something to click out of the other one, the original intro that was on there, and the one that I had set. It kind of disappeared because of my computer froze. Anyway, people, we're glad to have y'all. Let's tune in tonight. We're going to have a special guest. She is a paranormal investigator. She has quite some achievements behind her. She's actually worked with Zach and the guys from Ghost Adventures. Her name is Jan Shelley. She's going to be joining us here just shortly. So, Brian, is there anything you want to discuss until she gets on the line? I mean, I've been kind of under the weather here for the past week. I literally have been in bed since last Saturday night up until, you know, today's my birthday. I'm actually feeling half decent.
Oh, I hear you. One of the things I like to discuss is we need to get some new opening music.
We need to get our own setup going here. And the sooner I can figure that out, the better off we'll be, because we don't want to have to listen to that again.
Well, I have a couple of songs I could send to you.
I'll give you the information to the studio, and then you can just, you know, put it all in. Because I'm not a tech person, trust me.
Oh, I understand that. I can just about imagine.
I saw
the Italian the Italian pasta video.
Yeah, well, okay. All right, so here's the thing. My whole point in the Italian, the Olive Garden, we'll go ahead and shout it out, say Olive Garden, give them a little free press. This goes back to one of the investigators on PSNO that said that Olive Garden is not real Italian food, and we kind of got on a debate on Facebook about what Italian food actually is, so it made me hungry, so I decided to go eat some Olive Garden the next day. And I happened to make a funny video about it, but I didn't get to say it and do what I really wanted to do because there were so many people around, but I just kind of started it up.
Come on, you weren't being shy. I'll tell you what, it's good thing I wasn't there. I'm not shy. I don't care what anyone thinks. But, you know, ultimately, the opposer in this debate is pretty much correct. You're not going to find real Italian food unless it's in Italy or maybe in New England, you know, where one of these Italian restaurants actually are and it's owned and operated by true Italians. But, you know, I understand what he's saying. You know, Olive Garden is pretty much, it's all frozen, boxed, and, you know, processed Italian food.
It's, in my opinion, look, I'm just a big woods country boy, and if it's got three ingredients, to me it's Italian. If it's noodles, sauce, and cheese, it's Italian, okay? That's just the way it is in my book.
I'm actually surprised you ate at Olive Garden anyway. I mean, they don't have breading and grease.
You'd be surprised.
They don't deep fry the pasta.
Yeah, well, you know, every once in a while you gotta try something a little different. You know, we can't eat gumbo and fried chicken down here every day.
I gotta give you a hard time, you deep South Cajun boy. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't trade it for nothing, buddy. Wouldn't trade it. I am deep south through and through. Runs in my blood.
You know, the funny thing is I actually come from further south in Louisiana than you do.
You sure do.
So
you come down there from Cajun country.
I guess I shouldn't be talking too much.
No, because you kind of like they say you can take the girl out the trailer park, but you can never take the trailer park out of the girl. Same situation. You can take a man out of the South, but you can't take the South out of the man.
I hear you. I can throw down on some crawfish, that's for sure.
Oh, you know, speaking of that, I can't wait because crawfish is just now getting in season. And, you know, down here, it's been a pretty wet winter so far, so that means crawfish season is going to be good.
February, I believe, right?
Yeah. February.
Yeah,
I mean, they'll still be kind of high. They'll be within a $3 a pound range, but as you get down to, like, end of March, beginning of April, you get down to,
right,
like, $1.25 a pound, which is pretty much when you have crawfish every weekend down here. So it's a good time.
Right,
I mean,
right.
If you get your whole family together and just have a big old feast, that's what we do down here.
Well, let's get back on track. You know, we're going to have Jan Chalai on the show. And Jan is a friend of mine, and she has done a total of 7, I believe she told me, investigations with Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures. She knows him personally, and she's based out of Chicago. And she's done investigations pretty much all over the country. She's gone to Pennsylvania. If you've heard of it, she's been there. So
right.
I'm really looking forward to getting her on the show. And Jeremy, I believe you had mentioned some news that you had earlier. I'm sure you can touch on that.
Oh, you're talking about the Zach Banger thing? Everyone knows that listens to the show or follows my paranormal group on Facebook. I was involved in a case here in Mount Hermon, Louisiana, which got a lot of publicity, and a book was written about it called Out of the Darkness. And there was a TV show, Wind Ghost Attack. Well, they've been the owner of the home. Well, she actually sold the home to the SPCA, which is, you know, like it's a kennel now for dogs being adopted. But anyway, she was contacted by Ghost Adventures. They want to investigate the house with Lorraine Warren. That's the part that just blows my mind. Big enough that,
that
awesome. Zach Bagans and them's coming, but Lorraine Warren, is going to come.
For those that don't know, Lorraine Warren and her husband pretty much started the whole paranormal scene. They did the Amityville Horror and the movie The Conjuring.
Conjuring, if you've seen the movie Conjuring,
that was based on her husband.
Right. But, I'm very excited about that because I have some awesome EVPs that I would love for someone like Lorraine Warren to listen to and get her opinion on it. I mean, it's pretty much Class A EVP that you're going to find out there. Matter of fact, you know what, Brian? It may be on this file right here somewhere in here.
Oh,
if I can find that later. Yeah, if I can find that later, I would love for Jan to listen to that. But, they want to do the house. They have to first get permission from the SPCA to be able to investigate it. But I don't really see a problem with that because we do live in a country. And that house is so well-known in this whole area, you know, the story in general. It's just mind-blowing. So I'm really excited about that. You know, I'd love to just be able to meet Lorraine Warren in person because, you know, like Ryan said, they are the founders pretty much of what we call now paranormal research. So, yeah, I'm very excited about that.
That reminds me, something happened New Year's Eve, which it's kind of, you know, it's a good topic for our show, although not this particular show, that you and I get with me, you know, once the show is over. You'll find it very interesting. It has to do with your little visit that you plan on taking up here.
Okay, cool.
But
y'all hear me coughing, guys. I'm sorry, I can't help it.
Yeah, I'm really interested to speak with Jan. I've spoken to her. I mean, she's a friend of mine, and I've spoken to her many times. And I'm really interested for you guys to hear what she has to say and her insights into the paranormal world. And the ultimate question: why are they here? Why are they in these locations that they're in?
Right, and that's a question I think that as a paranormal investigator, we would all love to get the answers to, you know, but unfortunately I don't know. I'm hopeful that that day will come, and I do think that sooner or later technology will catch up with it, you know. Because let's face it, I mean, up until what, the last 30 years, you know, paranormal investigation has, I mean, people still don't take it serious today, but it's become a lot more credible than it was 30 years ago. I mean, 30 years ago, somebody said you just didn't hear paranormal investigators or anything like that. So, but one day I'm hopeful we'll get, you know, the answers that we're searching for, because I would like to know. I mean, why don't you go to, you know, your final resting place?
It was more taboo back in those days than what it is now. And, you know, as much as we bash these television shows and whatever, we've kind of got to give them some credit because they've actually brought it to light and helped introduce it to millions of people who would naturally think that it was still taboo and not even take any kind of interest in it.
Right. Well, my opinion is I think that it gave victims of hauntings a voice. It gave them hope. You know, there is people out there that could possibly help them. You know,
right.
I've dealt with many people, and they will tell you it's a very, very bad feeling when something's going on in your house and you can't tell anybody. You're even scared to ask your spouse of their experience and anything because you don't want them to think you're crazy. And,
yeah,
you know, it's something
why,
that you
I mean,
can't go and talk to nobody about.
When I watch the paranormal shows, it's usually, you know, I prefer the shows that actually that have the actual people who are there. You know, one of my favorites is Paranormal Witness. I like it when they show the actual people, give them a voice, and you can really feel the distress that they were going through at that particular time.
Right. Yeah, and the only bad thing about the shows is the drawback, of course. You know, there's always the good with the bad. It also gives all these people out there that up and decide they want to be ghost hunters, and unfortunately, you end up with a situation like you did down here in Baton Rouge a couple months ago. So-called ghost hunters ended up burning down a historical plantation, but, you know, I mean, it's just, I don't know if it's just society today or what, but there's just a lot of crazy people out there. I'm sorry to say that, and I'm sorry if I said that wrong and offended anybody, but I don't know how else to say it.
Well, it hasn't changed. I mean, it hasn't changed throughout the years, you know. You get these very influential people, usually teenagers, and they see stuff on TV and they think they can go out and do everything they see on TV. I mean, it's been that way with numerous television shows, not just paranormal, throughout the years. And you can't really blame the television series because, like I said earlier, they're putting it out there. They're making people aware of it. you really can only blame the individuals in regards to a situation like that.
Oh yeah, I mean, I totally agree. You can't blame the TV show for it. I mean, people have to take responsibility for themselves, and I think that's kind of a big problem in today's world. But you know, nevertheless, I mean, that's just the way it is. And you know, we just gotta deal with it. You gotta take the good with the bad. I mean, that's with anything.
Right.
Did you happen to watch the monster show that was on Discovery Destination America that was on earlier?
Earlier today.
What about the? I think it was the Jersey Devil. It was on earlier. And that's something that I would really like to do a show on and do some research and get somebody here.
Yeah, I've seen pretty much every one of those episodes. There was one that I got real excited about. It was the last episode, Sunday night. It was about the Momo. And I caught just a brief of the show, and it said Louisiana. So I was thinking it was down in Louisiana. Well, turns out there's a place called Louisiana, Missouri.
Yeah, there's a town called Louisiana, right, yeah.
That's what it was and where it took place, which, you know, really, Missouri is, I think it's like right above Arkansas, and, you know, you've got a whole range that passes right down there. You know, you've got the Falk Monster in Arkansas, then you've got the Honey Island Monster in Louisiana. And that's kind of, you know,
the Rougarou.
Well, that's what one of, and while we're killing time, I might as well talk about it. New Year's Eve night, someone posted that they saw a Sasquatch about a mile outside of my town, and I found it very interesting. For one, it's. You know, I don't know the person. I couldn't back it up or find out if there's any proof to it, but it sounds plausible. Hey, hold on a second, because Dan's actually calling me.
Okay. But, yeah, I would definitely like to get somebody that is real, real familiar with the Rougarou and the Jersey Devil. That's the thing that always really spiked my attention, but I really don't know a whole lot about it to be able to know, you know, to give an expert opinion. But look, we're going to have Jan on here hopefully real soon. If you would like to call in and be a guest and talk with Jan or one of us, please feel free to do so. You can call us at 323-580-5703. That is 323-580-5703. And give us a call.
All right, I'm
sorry about that. We're glad to put you on the air. All right, you back?
I'm sorry about that. I'm back. Yes, it appears that she had somehow in transition, she had got the wrong number for the actual radio broadcast.
Oh, yeah. What happens every once in a blue moon? You know, as many times as I do this, Brian, I still have to look at the number every time I go to log in here.
Yeah,
I can't remember nothing.
Thankfully, I have it locked on my phone. Let me finish up real quick what I was saying about the Sasquatch near here. It makes sense because of the fireworks that were going on New Year's Eve night. Usually, you know, you don't have all the boom, boom, boom at night. So, you know, if there wasn't Sasquatch in here, it would make sense that would get it its attention and up and moving, you know, whether it's curiosity to see the fireworks or whether the noise would get it moving, I'm sorry. And also the fact that New Year's Eve, generally at night, there's not a lot of traffic. However, on New Year's Eve night, you can kind of expect more traffic than usual. So it just makes – it kind of makes sense that one was actually spotted that particular night.
I bet you that had you pretty excited, huh?
Oh, yeah, man. I wanted to jump in the car and take off, you know. And I tried to get I tried to get in touch with the dude and ask him, because he just gave a stretch of highway. And I'm like, okay, what size? Going which direction, you know? never could get any kind of response. So, you know, it may be a, you know, it may be a joke, it may be a hoax. Who knows, you know?
All right, guys, we got our guest on, Jan Shalai. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. I've been sick all week, but that's another story.
I haven't been sick, so I don't want to catch it.
Oh, Lord, this is terrible. I've been dealing with this all week. Well, we are I am excited to have you on.
Well, thank you.
I, you know, I've heard about some of your background, some of the things that you've done, some of the places you've investigated. So, look, I want to hear, start from the beginning. You can start the day you were born if you want. Let's just go that way.
I'm not going to start the day I was born. We'll be on all night. Well, really, I'm into music. You know, I like rock stars and everything. So this kind of zeroed off into something else. And it started out watching Ghost Adventures. And I would watch it every week, and I was becoming obsessed with it. And I said, I've got to go. You know, and they were having the events at that time. The guys were having the events, and it would be groups of people, you know, a considerable amount of people. And you would pay, and it would be coordinated and everything. You would go there. You would do an investigation on two nights. It was two separate nights. You would go one night, 25 people, you know, for each group. And they would have different celebrity ghost hunters, you know, and it would be Zach, Nick, and Aaron, of course, from Ghost Adventures, who, I owe them everything. They are the best of the best. There's no doubt in my mind. But started out with Waverly Hills. And I have to say on my list of all the places I've been, that is number two. That was amazing. That place, that, I have to go back there.
Yeah, now, I would love to go there myself.
Even with the large group of people that you were with, Jan, you still had activity?
Well, Jen, who was on here, did. She did have something. But they had an auction for a private hunt, and they would pick people to go with Zach, Nick, and Aaron. Not pick them. You would pay for it, obviously, but
right,
it was an
right.
auction. And I had to do – it was something I had to do. And I got to pick the floor, and I picked the fourth floor. And it was – it started out in the surgical room, and there was a fellow – he was some kind of reverend, and his arm was being twisted. And, you know, I know a lot of people don't like Zach. I will defend Zach to my death. Zach, to me, is my friend. He is the best of the best. There is no BS. I've heard so many stories about him. I have the utmost respect for him, as he does for me. And if anybody says anything bad about him, I'm going to argue. And I've met a lot of people like that, too. You know, during arguments where I would come in and say, wait a minute, have you investigated with them? Do you know him? I know him. You know, he's a
well,
good guy.
I think a lot of it is a misconception. A lot of people, you know, they take what they see on television and they think that's, you know, that defines a person's personality, when in reality, you know, it doesn't.
Well,
yeah, I mean, in my opinion, not only Zach is an excellent paranormal investigator, he is a great producer, he is a great editor. I mean, because them guys actually edit their own stuff. You know, they do it all. Basically, they hand a disc to the network to hear, play. And they do it all. So, you know, you really have to give these guys the respect that they deserve. But, you know, being a public figure and, you know, ghost hunting being as mainstream as it is, you're going to have a lot of people like that. And I'm sure Zach and all of them, they know that. And they don't pay no mind to that. You know, they're doing what
they're doing.
And
unfortunately, though, he is the most hated of them all, and you know,
well,
I resent
he's
that.
He's the most good-looking, that's why.
Well, he is. He is good-looking, but he is the most hated, and he comes across to a lot of people as arrogant. People will say he never spoke to me, he wouldn't look at me, he wouldn't this. I said I talk to him all the time. You know, I have no problem with him. Maybe it's because there's so many groupies that are going after him. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But, you know,
well,
I want to
think a lot of it. I think a lot of it also, Jan, has to do with the fact of his professionalism on the show. If you watch the show, he's all business. Zach is all business. You know, and that professionalism might come off a little cocky to a lot of people, whereas I could watch Ghost Adventures and say, okay, I know that I'm not going to see any kind of pranks. You know, I've watched Ghost Hunters. And they show them pranking and scaring each other and everything. I'm like, well, they're not even taking it seriously. You know, how am I supposed to take their show seriously if they're not taking it seriously? But I can say that with Ghost Adventures with Zach, I've never seen any of that.
I haven't either. And, you know, we were, you know, that was my first investigation at Waverly Hills. I didn't even have a recorder. We went to Walmart and I bought one for the private investigation, which I do have a video of. But I can't. I don't think I can release it because somebody gave it to me. Zach was gonna. He was so pumped up after what happened on this private investigation that he was practically on the ceiling, and he was just so happy. He said, "This is the most activity I have gotten in a whole night. What I just got right now. I mean, it was crazy." And we were in this room, in the surgical room. And I'm not going to go into great detail, but there was this reverend who was sitting in the corner, and all of a sudden his arm was twisted. It was twisted in a way that you could not twist your arm. And, you know, we're all kind of watching him, and of course you're in the pitch dark. And, you know, last time it was, you know, there was a long talk about the goosebumps. Okay, we did get them there. There were three people that got them, Nick, Zach, and me. And we could feel the chill just go through the air. And then he took the recorder and he put it in the middle of the room and he started talking. And he said, why did you do that to him? And it said, because I can. I mean, it was clear as a bell. But then there were things.
Hold on. I'm sorry. This was on a spirit box or was just an EVP?
This was an EVP.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
And then it went into something which he couldn't understand, and that's another thing I respect him for. None of us could understand what it said, and people are guessing. On the private one, usually the auction is five people. It always ended up being six because the price went up so high and nobody would give in. I mean, people would have gone to $5,000. So, you know, the guy that ran it would say, come on, you know, this is getting too expensive. So we would agree with people. But,
okay, hold on, guys. We got a guest calling in. Let me just let him cue in real quick. Keep on talking, Dan. Sorry.
Okay. So then, you know, nobody could understand what it said. And then people were saying, well, it said this. And I said, and he brought it over to me, and I said, no, it said this. And he would not admit it said anything because nobody could understand it. You know, and that's another thing people accuse him of, making stuff up. It was never determined what was said. But that room got cold, and then it got hot, and it smelled like sewage. And then we walked out into the hall, and he took me with him to lead. And everybody else had to stay behind, and it was filmed, and the video I have was kind of cut short. But I thank the guy that gave it to me because Zach was supposed to give us each a video, which he never did. But as we were walking ahead, I saw a white mist. It was a long hall on the fourth floor, and I saw a white mist on the left, and I just grabbed him by the shoulder, and I said, look, and he just shook his head. And then there were black shadow figures coming out of every doorway. And then there was a scream in back of us. And it was like, okay, they're trying to trap us in. And then that kind of, you know, that kind of led down. And then everybody that had been injured there was a guy. Guys were scratched. Arms were twisted. Guys were cut. And so there were women. And he says, I'm going to take your women in there in the surgical room, see what happens. So he went in there with us, and he says, okay, I've got women in here now. You always hurt men. You know, hurt the women. And I hate to say it, but I would love to be slapped, scratched, bitten. I don't care. Just do it. But nothing happened. Nothing. It was like they didn't touch the women. But that was
That's
the
interesting.
End. And this guy was so pumped. He was like, yes, yes. I mean, and it was real. It was real. And, I mean, he was so happy. And if you saw the picture of me and him, I have pictures from everything. And that's the first one where I'm wearing a gray top. But he is happy.
What's the history of the place? Do you know a little bit about the history?
It was a tuberculosis sanatorium, and a lot of people died there.
I'm just curious if that would correspond a little bit with why guys were getting the most attention over the females.
No, because most of it was women. That I have no clue. And from there,
unless they felt that men were not supposed to be there.
Possible. I don't know. I mean, it was like, after that, I felt like my life has changed. I'm not kidding you. I felt this was the best thing that ever happened in my life. And from there on, I went to a bunch of places. I've been to, obviously, the Pennhurst, Eastern State, Rolling Hills, Bobby Mackey's twice.
That's where I want to go. Bobby Mackey's is a dream of mine.
Let me get back there. Bachelor's Grove 3 times, Sedumsville Rectory 2 times, the Stanley Hotel, Hannah House, Black Moon Manor. So, yes, I think I've
had quite a resume.
I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot. And yeah. Number one on my list is Pennhurst. But
That's where I want to go with you guys.
You could take 10 people and say, what is number one on your list? And it could be something different. Because every night is different. And you don't know. It could be your personality. It could be the night. It could be anything. So, you know, I don't judge it by that, but Pennhurst blew us away. And I think Jen said
like,
most of it.
It's like you and I were speaking earlier, and Jeremy and I have had this conversation several times. Just because you go to a location doesn't necessarily mean that the spirits or paranormal activity are going to be there or want to show themselves at that particular time.
Absolutely not. At Mansfield Reformatory, they had been active the night before, and there were 2 nights. I went the second night. Zach locked me in number one cell of solitary confinement. People had been hit there, beaten, slapped, you name it. I sat in there in the pitch dark, and not one thing happened. And I'm a provoker. I do provoke. And nothing. And I said, okay, I'm here. You've got me. You can have me. You could do anything you want with me. Nothing. And then he came back and he says, well, how's it going? I says, nothing. He says, shit. You know, it's very quiet tonight. He agreed with me. And he says, you know, just start talking. I said, I've been talking. And then, you know how Billy is set up with the equipment on the side? Billy says, okay, you got something. Yeah. And it said, get the F out of here. I'm going to kill you. And whether it was talking to him or talking to me, he thought they were just about to get me. And he walked up. So we don't know. But then he had me walk down the entire block of solitary confinement by myself in the pitch dark. I didn't even have a flashlight. And I did run into something which was real. I almost broke my leg. But anyhow, I just kept going. And I was provoking the whole time. And I just walked up.
Let's talk about that feeling, if you will. Of walking that now I know that you know there's cameras on you and you're aware that there's cameras on you and the guys are watching you, but I imagine you still have that feeling of fear and foreboding dread.
Because
you know I watch the show all the time and I'm like I see how they take Aaron and they shove him down in basements all the time and I'm like. Well, he knows that they're watching him, and all he's got to do is talk to them, and they'll come, you know, as far as the other guys. So I wonder just how much of a level of fear someone would have knowing that, hey, there's cameras watching me. I'll be okay. The guys will be here in the instant if something happens, as opposed to if you were walking down there by yourself, completely by yourself, without any cameras on you. You know, you understand what I'm saying? The whole sense of confidence level, how that
okay, number one, they didn't have cameras on me.
Oh, really?
No, they didn't use cameras. Number two, it was pitch black. I couldn't. I had to touch the wall because you lose your equilibrium when you're walking in the pitch black. So I had to actually touch the wall, and that's when I hurt my leg. But
that's another thing that interests me. Is it better? I mean, you would think pitch black, you would have a hard time even seeing in Joe's. So is it better to go pitch black, or is it better to go with a flashlight? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I
made the decision to go without a flashlight, okay, because I knew they were watching me. They were there. They were all there standing there watching me, but they weren't filming it. So, I ran into it, and I went, oh, ouch, and he says, be careful, Jan, just keep going. So I walked all the way down. I was provoking everything. I got to the end. I was talking. I turned around. Nothing, and I came back, and I got to about the middle, and Aaron ran up to me, and he said, Jan, there was a black figure right in front of you, and I said, I can't see anything. He said, it blocked the light from your recorder, because I was holding the recorder, and he said it was right in front of you. It walked right in front of you and stood there. I said, I must have walked over it, because I did not see it, because I can't see anything,
right.
And that's the night that gave me his flashlight.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at. I mean, would it be better to have it even dimly lit so that you can, because I know that in the dark, a person's eyes will play tricks on them and they'll see certain things, as their eyes adjust and just out of the corner of their eyes. So it makes me wonder, how do we know? I mean, would some light source help us to know, hey, that wasn't just my eyes, that was actually what we're
doing? As a paranormal investigator, in my opinion, guys, as a paranormal investigator, why I like to work in the dark is it's not because that's how everybody else does it. I work in the dark because when you can't see anything, you rely on more what? Your senses.
Your senses.
Okay?
And your senses in your body.
Exactly. Your senses in your body tell you more, you focus more on what your body tells you than what you're seeing. And I think that is a good advantage when trying to communicate with spirits. You can't see, so you have to go by your senses. It's kind of like somebody that's blind, you'd be amazed at some of the things that they can do by their senses. I mean, I think it just kind of works the same way.
You're absolutely correct, and I don't know what I was thinking at the time. I can't go back and think what I was thinking of why I was walking in the pitch dark, but had no idea where I was. But.
Well, I guess my whole thing is if they're there, if they're there in the dark, then they're going to be there in the light. I just haven't wrapped around. Okay, why is it more important to investigate?
Well,
at
that
night,
would be easy. You got to think about it, Brian. You're dealing with IR cameras. IR takes up a light spectrum that we can't see.
I understand the technological aspects of it. I'm talking about physical, as a person. I would think if I would go into, say, Pennhurst, for example, during the day, it'd be just as haunted as if I went there at night.
Absolutely.
Although history does dictate that people seem to bad people seem to prefer the cover of darkness over light.
Honestly,
right.
I don't know why I chose to go in the total dark, and like I said, that's probably why Zach gave me his flashlight when we were done. But typically, you use the flashlight. But that's a good thing. Why doesn't the same thing happen during the day as at night? Probably does.
Well, I can associate it with something that I'm really familiar with, is wildlife. The predators prey at night.
True.
And I think that might hold true. If you're trying to get evidence of a malevolent spirit, then chances are it's going to be malevolent under the cover of darkness, the same as a human would.
But who wanted to talk about Bobby Mackey? Who was concerned about Bobby Mackey?
Me. Bobby Mackey is one of my dream investigations.
We had our dream at Bobby Mackey's, okay?
Oh,
We had a team at the time, which eventually broke up because of drama. Two teams have broken up because of drama. And one thing we cannot stand, the three of us that are left, is drama. Do not do
it
to us.
That's why I created my own team.
Yeah. I mean, we were at, I'm going to skip Bobby Mackey's for a second. We were at Suttonville Rectory, and that is a strange place. Very strange. But anyhow, we were sitting up in the creep. It's called the creepy room upstairs on the couch. Three women, three of us, and the three that are left. And, you know, we'd have a laugh once in a while and talk. And then we'd get down to business. We were very serious. We didn't pretend anything. We weren't dramatic. We didn't have any drama, blah, blah, blah. So one of them said, you know, did you see the black shadow figure at the doorway? And the second one says, yeah, I saw it. And the third one said, and then I said, well, I actually saw it on the wall next to the doorway. That's how little drama we had. None of us said anything when we saw it. I mean, we're waiting for the big one. You know, so, and we hate that. We hate when we run into drama, when somebody's going to interrupt you, when somebody's going to be putting together equipment, when somebody's going to be talking and laughing, when somebody's going to be screaming, when somebody's going to be lying. I have seen so many lies. When you get a big group of people that say, oh, something's touching me, something's this, something's that, something's that. It's like bullshit, because you could tell.
Right. That's
you
what,
could tell.
That's,
you could feel it.
That's the kind of skepticism that I have. That's where I'd be like, yeah, okay, whatever you say.
Yeah, I knew what not to believe. You can feel it, and whoever said about feeling it, it's your senses that are feeling there is something here. You know, they
can hear.
Oh, yeah, of course. And I'll tell you, those three guys, Zach, Nick, and Aaron, their senses are so tuned up, and they've done a lot of investigations.
Well, see, that's the one thing I hate whenever I'm analyzing is when, you know, you're trying to, you know, the people are in there with EVPs or whatever, and everyone's talking, joking, laughing, having a good time, and you have to really try to decipher what's EVP and what's not. It's like, okay, you're investigating. Investigate. Don't go there to have a party or have a good time. You want to hang out with your friends, do it somewhere else. You know, and that's one thing that I envy about Zach is when he goes there, it's all strictly business.
It is.
You can't expect to get quality evidence, quality EVPs, quality proof when you have everybody laughing and giggling and joking in the background and talking. It's like, keep it to a minimum. That's why I tell people, if you're going to investigate and you're going to do EVP, keep the number of people minimal. You know, one, two, maybe three people at the most.
But that's
that
difficult for the
of
prices they charge. If they're charging over $1,000,
yeah, that's understandable.
And you have to fly there,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it gets expensive.
Yeah, that's a different, you know, that's understandable. That's a different situation. What I'm talking about is when you're doing private investigations, residentials, you know, in a small confined area, you don't need a whole group, 7-8 people in there just because they want to be a part of it. That's, to me, that's stupid. That you're trampling all over your potential evidence. You know, I say keep it to a minimal. And I'm not talking about, you know, you, Jan, and what you guys are doing in these big locations. I'm talking about like the typical residential investigators.
Okay, but, you know, that's what we hate. And we're very if we see something, you know, I saw Eastern State isn't that active. I hate to say it. Many people have said it. I did see a black shadow figure there, and then it bent over and it went into a different shape. You think kind of nothing of it. That's the point we're at right now. We're waiting for the big one. But to go back to Bobby Mackey's, that was when we had our first team, and there was a lot of drama.
I mean, that would kind of freak me out in itself, and so I have to wonder what your level of big one would be. It's like, what do you want the whole roof to fall down? I mean, if I saw a black shadow figure and it morphed into some other shape, I'd be like, okay, nice to meet you, see you later.
It was Pennhurst when we were almost killed was the big one. We could have been killed.
Please elaborate on that if you can.
Yeah, let me hit to Bobby, and I'll be Bobby's, and I'll be brief. And again, there's the room, I can't remember what to call it now, with the blood, and it was a mafia murder room. I am from Chicago. It was a mafia murder room and a slaughterhouse. And
yeah, that's
where
the whale was.
Pardon me?
The whale, that's the room, you talking about the room where the whale was?
No.
Where they throw her head, supposedly?
No, that's in the basement. That's in the basement, and the basement, actually, you have to leave the main building to go to the basement, but that's as you walk in, and there were black shadow figures. That's Joanna's dressing room and everything, and the well was there, the portal to hell. In there, we got, like, a smell of perfume, but not a lot, and was it the second time we were there? There was a group in the other room laughing and talking. I just said, shut the F up. You know, we're trying to investigate here. But the first time when we didn't expect anything, we walked into that room, and there were five of us. One, two, three. Wait, or were there six of us? There was a man.
I think if I smell perfume, I'd have to check everyone's pockets to make sure someone didn't
there were five of us, okay. So three of us were sitting down. And two were standing up. And here we come with the spirit box with the SB7, which is my favorite piece of equipment.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Is the SB7.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I need, that and a recorder. But anyhow, so we were talking on that, and I don't even remember the conversations. I've got everything on tape. And then I stood up, and I put my arms up, and I said, scratch me. And the guy that was the head of our team, he said, like, oh, it's like something's in my hair. It's like bugs or something. And they says, oh, my back is burning. So we got up or we ran over there. He had been scratched from the top of his neck and down. Two scratches, not three, two scratches. And I said, why didn't you scratch me? I wanted to be scratched. It said, I hate you. We were on cloud nine. We were so happy. We were there. Yes, yes. We love it.
I think spirits like that, I think they single out the people that it knows it can put fear in, and it can intimidate. See, like you, for example, in that case, you said you want to be scratched, and it turned around and said, "I hate you."
Yeah.
Because I think on a spiritual level, they know, hey, anything I do to this woman is pointless. You know. As far as, like, increasing your level of fear.
But, well, you know, it was out of nowhere. It was a room. It had a door. He was standing, like, we were sitting around a table, and he was standing in back of us. There was nothing else in the room. Say it's fake. He was scratched. And, you know, I have a picture on my Facebook page of it. And then one of the girls was standing up, and she was filming. And she's going, oh, my God, my legs. And all you see is these white anomalies going up and down her legs, you know, up and down her thighs. And then it just kind of ended. And the second time we backed, virtually there was nothing.
That's interesting.
Well, I always say, I mean, I have a thing. I call paranormal investigating like fishing. You know, some days they bite and some days they don't.
Yeah. That was
You can be sitting there 3 or 4 hours and get absolutely nothing, and all of a sudden just the chain of events happen one after another, and then nothing. Yeah, so
it was funny the first time, though. We were leaving. All our equipment was turned off. We were done for the night. We were exhausted, and we're sitting on the couch. There's a room upstairs that was like an apartment, and we're sitting there, and one of the girls clicks a picture right next to me. Right is a white mist. Whatever that was, I don't know, but it was funny because we weren't, we were just kicking back. We were tired, you know, we were exhausted. So that was kind of amusing, too.
So, Jeremy, did you have a caller on the line?
Well, I don't know. My computer's frozen up right now. That's
okay,
why I've been kind of quiet.
Dan, if we can, let's, I was going to try to take a couple of calls for you, but if we can, let's go ahead and tell us about this near-death experience.
Oh, I'm not supposed to talk about it because we're in a place we weren't supposed to be.
we can respect that.
Okay, but I will tell you that I was provoking again.
I'm sorry?
Nicole wants to call back in. She can. I got it on froze.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jen.
First, we're up in the third floor, and I think Jen talked about it, where we were all in the same room, and we were watching the hallway, and it was where the kids were. And the guy that was guiding us came up, and he says, "Hey, kids, it's good to see you." I mean, we saw anomalies flashing through the hallway. In the room, one of the girls, it was like there was a sparkler on her shoulder. It was just so bright. And then there was a ball laying on the floor, and it hit the wall, and we thought it was kicked. Later we looked at the video, and it was picked up and thrown against the wall. There were shadow figures walking back and forth at the end of it. I mean, that really was like, wow.
Now that you're mentioning this, I have heard a little bit about that from Jennifer. But, yeah, I recall now her mentioning it to me. It was a couple of years, probably about a year ago.
Well, it was in last April. Then we went downstairs, okay, and we went back up to the third floor because the three of us girls were going to do another EVP session, and we did get something, and we went downstairs, and we ended up someplace, and when we walked in there, my flashlight went dead. The power was drained, the energy was drained. It was like, oh crap! It was pitch black. We had nothing. And it was like, oh, now what do we do? So Jen's flashing her camera. So then
I wonder if they drain the energy to use the energy, if they drain the energy because, hey, I don't want you looking at me.
Allegedly, it's to use it, but I don't know.
Right.
So here I had no flashlight, and we had run there so fast. All I had was a recorder, thankfully, a camera, and Jen had a camera. And the flashlight, that was it. We didn't even grab the rest of our equipment. So we went there, and this cinder block was thrown at us, and we weren't too happy that everybody went there without us. So, of course, I started provoking. And I can't remember the guy's name because I always call him something that is Skippy. His name is Skippy. And he was supposed to be a pedophile. So I started provoking him. I says, "Oh, Skippy, you like little boys, huh?" You know, and I kind of adjust my provoking, you know, whether it be loud or whether it not be. And all of a sudden, the light above us, now there was no electricity here, exploded. It was like a bomb.
Yeah, she mentioned that on the show, last show that she was on. She mentioned that.
Yeah. And then the fixture fell like a foot in front of us. Her head was covered with glass. The fixture, which was metal, rusted, and pointed. It was like it just fell right in front of us. And we both screamed because we always swore we never scream. You know, you hear two screams, and it was like the guy that was there says, "I got to get you out of here." He says, "Don't provoke anymore. You're going to get killed." You know, so that was Jen Hurst. But, there's places I wouldn't go back to. There's places I've asked people, what is the most haunted place you've been to? And it's something totally different.
Yeah, I got to go there. I want to go there with you guys. Jennifer and I have talked about it for a couple of years now, at least, about getting me up there and going with you guys to Pennhurst. I really, really would love to check that out.
Well, she has had occurrences. She's gone for the Halloween thing. Because she lives there. She lives in Pennsylvania. I live, in the Chicagoland. But and that's why we have to plan way ahead of time where we're going to go. But you know, it's easy. I have to fly into Philly. It's easier for her to get there. And, you know, at the time we did Eastern State one night and then Pennhurst the next. Eastern, like I said, we didn't get a hell of a lot. It wasn't very active. We're going.
Yeah, well, I remember at one time she was talking about you guys trying to get down to New Orleans. And I was like, okay, let me know. You know, I'll make a way to get down there with you. And, you know, we can go check out some place. So maybe that might still be somewhere in the future.
You know, there's
so
many places I'd like to go, but I'd like somebody to tell me, you know, this is very active. I'd kind of like to go back to Waverly Hills, honestly. I don't feel, you know, that being my first
investigation.
Well,
I'm sure Jeremy can get in touch with you and fill you in on some ideal locations. Right, Jeremy?
Oh, yeah, especially down here in the South. I mean, we got just tons and tons of places that I've investigated that I was just absolutely amazed with some of the paranormal activity we got. So, I mean, yeah, you ever plan a trip down here to Louisiana, definitely let me know, and we'll get together and take you to a good spot.
Yeah,
how about Old Pittsburgh Hospital or Old Pittsburgh, Tennessee?
Old Pittsburgh, Tennessee? What is that?
Yeah.
Was it mental hospital?
Yeah.
We got a place. We got a place here, in Mount Hermon, that actually Zach and him is going to be coming here. The owner just told me today she was contacted by Ghost Adventures and Lorraine Warren. They want to bring Lorraine Warren to this house in Springfield that I was a big part of. She ended up writing a book about it. It's called Out of the Darkness. There was an episode on the show When Ghost Attacks. That done a story on it. Basically, she visited the Myrtles Plantation in St. Francisville, Louisiana. A dark entity followed her home. Soon after, her and her three daughters are being terrorized by a figure they call the boss that I actually see with my own two eyes. I don't really care to see anything like that again. It was very dark, very negative. But anyway, yeah, I've investigated the house several times. I have some great EVPs and so on and all that. But
and where's that located?
It's in Mount Hermon, Louisiana.
Huh. And who contacted you from Ghost Adventures?
No, they contacted Joy Stinson, which is the owner. They didn't contact me. Joy Stinson contacted me and told me. I don't know if Lorraine Warren contacted her, their agents. I don't know all of that. All I know is she said that she was contacted Ghost Adventures and Lorraine Warren wants to investigate it, but they have to get permission first from the SPCA. You see, the house, the story was so well documented down here in the South. I mean, this woman was put in a mental institution because people thought she was crazy. It's a modern-day Amityville horror. The story is very close to The Conjuring. So she had to list when they sold the house that the house was haunted. Well, the SPCA...
Yeah, so we're quite aware of that.
The SPCA had to end up... They ended up buying the house, and it's an animal shelter now. So, but she did say that they had to get permission through the SPCA before they could come. But I have control of all the pictures and the audio and stuff like that from the investigations.
Wait, back up.
So,
It's an animal?
It's an animal shelter, yes, yes. SPCA.
And what's
going
to happen to the animal? My passion is animals. So.
Oh, no, I mean, that's what it is. It's
that's
for rescued animals. Yeah,
I was just about to say that right up your alley, Jan.
And what what are they going to do with the animals?
They just adopt them out. That's what the SPCA does.
They what?
Like a pet adoption. They adopt animals out, stray animals,
right.
People bring in stray animals, and they adopt them out. That's what the SPCA is.
And do they kill them, too?
No, they don't kill them.
It's a no-kill shelter?
Right.
Yeah,
well,
let's not get me
show.
Into the animal thing, because...
Yeah, that's a whole other show.
It's a no-kill, you know. But, but other than that, you got the French Quarter down there in New Orleans. You got all the plantations on River Road. Have you ever seen the movie The Skeleton Key?
No.
No, well, I've investigated that plantation. It's called the Felicity Plantation, the Myrtles Plantation, you know. You name it, down here I've done it. You know
well,
I mean?
just think, Jan, if you go investigate the animal shelter, you can be killing two birds with one stone.
Yeah, you might even find
a new friend. Yeah, I'll come back with every animal.
I hear you, Jan. Listen, I have three dogs and a pig, okay? Yeah, and they're all inside. We have a mini pig and we have three dogs, so yeah. I would say we're pretty friendly to animals around here.
That's good because the most are killed, I think, in North Carolina, New York, and somewhere in Texas. And
yeah.
I mean the heart stick and the gas chamber, and it just breaks my heart.
I know. Me too. I was hurt in an animal.
They stick a needle in their heart with poison. That's how they put them to sleep. That's called euthanasia. I mean, come on. But let's not even go there because we were – no, I don't want to go there. But
yeah,
anyhow.
We might have some sensitive listeners, and I know it's a harsh reality, but we need to kind of wrap things up here. Jan, is there anything that you want to plug or maybe your Facebook page to put it out there?
You know, I don't even have a Facebook page. I don't have my stuff documented. I just have it all put together. It's just been a fabulous experience. And, you know, there's sections I haven't gone to. I haven't gone to, like, New England area. I haven't gone to the South. I haven't gone to the far West. So there's a zillion places out there.
We're rolling out the welcome mat down here in the South. Just, get in touch with us, and we'll see what we can arrange. I'd love to go along, definitely. Jeremy's supposed to be coming up my way here shortly, and we got some different type of investigation that we're going to be doing. But, you're more than welcome to head down this way. Let me know, and, you know, I'll see what I can do to get with you guys, and I'm sure Jeremy can clue you into different locations.
Well, you know, it's honestly just been like, and I hate to say it, like Hannah House when we went there and got virtually nothing. Black Moon Manor was when the controversy was going on that it was all made up. You know, we were there and got kind of nothing. That's torn down now. But, you know, I that's why I somehow prefer large place. Our next location will be Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum.
Right. Jennifer mentioned that one to me.
Yeah.
That's in May, correct?
That, we were actually going to go in the winter, but there's no heat, and we thought, there's a couple places we thought we were going to die because it was so cold. I mean, not paranormal, but just cold. And
right.
That place is not heated at all, and it's enormous. And she said it's 15 degrees cooler in there than it is outside. I just can't do it for 8-10 hours. You know, you freeze to death, or you have to wear all these clothes. But that's going to be booked shortly. And then we're going to the Paracon in May, where Jeff Mudgett will be. And that's I'm very interested in that.
Well,
yeah, we got
to get
Paracon
you
down here in February.
Pardon me?
I said we got the Paracon down here in February that I'll be attending.
Yeah, there
yeah.
are
February
a lot of them.
Chris is trying to get me down there.
Amy and Steve from the Dead Files will be there. I'd love to meet them. Dave Schrader, who I know very well, and Tim. And then Jeff Mudgett is going to reveal some things about the history of this thing on 63rd and Wallace, which I am very, very interested. And read the book Bloodstains if you get a chance. It's the whole story, you know, of what happened in there, and it's unbelievable.
Well, you know, I want to get you back on sometime in the near future. I think next week we're going to try to get Jennifer back on here. But I'm glad you agreed. I know it was kind of last minute. The person that we had lined up kind of dropped on us. And I do appreciate you coming on, and I damn sure am hoping to get you back on in the future.
No,
most
that's
definitely.
Fine. I was saying maybe after Trans-Allegheny, we don't know what's going to happen there. They were offering something, and we can't, you know, we have no team anymore. So we were going to go, and it's $1,500 a night. So we were going to go, like, on where you can go with groups, and there's only 10 people per floor. And then as I was finding out as it got colder, there were probably hardly no people that went, you know. So to have Trans-Allegheny to yourself would have been pretty awesome, but freezing to death is not my thing.
All right, guys. Jan, we literally got about 59 seconds left. But
okay, thank you, guys.
Thank you so much for being on the show tonight.
Okay, if you want to see any pictures, let me know, and we'll talk soon. Thank you very much.
Okay,
thank you, ma'am.
Much love. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.